now. It's kind of floated under the radar, but it's been there. And that is the persecution of the Muslim Rohingya in Myanmar, where the current estimates are that 40,000 people are dead. Medecins Sans Frontières reported 6,700 people killed just in August, including 730 children. 600,000 have fled to Bangladesh, where they are not wanted. Shay is tapping on her microphone. Shay?
Yes.
Huh, that's different. Oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe we'll get Shay on the air. Maybe. I'm thinking about it. After that last segment, that may not be in my best interests. Yeah. Let's see what we got. Shay Spillane?
Was it the bad comment?
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
No, you know what it is.
You sound great, Shay. What happened?
You know what it is. It's the board.
It's,
there
no,
we go.
No,
we
what
go.
I believe it
that.
Is pure vengeance. Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
By the way, my favorite bear is Smokey the bear.
So 600,000 displaced.
Don't say Smokey. I already want a cigarette.
And this is similar to the Armenian genocide, where they're being driven out of the one place that they can escape to. The global community has done next to nothing. And Aung San Suu Kyi, the president of Myanmar, who won a Nobel Peace Prize, by the way, has basically shown her support for the military in all of this, because the military really is the ruler of Myanmar. With Syria and Iraq now more or less under control, this is the human rights tragedy that people need to be paying attention to.
And she got a Nobel Peace Prize.
She got a Nobel Peace Prize for getting elected. Mm-hmm. Remember the last time that happened?
Mm-hmm.
And there's
all the great things that guy did for peace?
Right, right.
And there's a news story as recent as an hour ago about the Australian government resisting calls to sanction Myanmar's military for its ethnic cleansing. Like, this is how much it's the definition of blind eye.
This is, what's going on over there is kindly referred to as ethnic cleansing, because what's actually happening over there is genocide.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are getting raped, people are getting killed, people are disappearing. Nobody seems to give a damn.
It's like Dorchester on a Saturday night.
Yeah, Dorchester's a little
except,
better than that
except,
these days.
Except in that case, you are genociding people of your own, not only race, but culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just, I had too many Guinnesses and I don't like how your face looks, other Irish person.
Yeah.
childhood.
It is awful.
Well, mine, in a similar vein, was literally anything about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, yeah.
That's. I mean, it feels like we don't.
Little Kim.
It feels as though. Nice. I'm going to high five Chris Earl for that one.
Rocket Man.
But it feels as though we haven't gone at least more than 2 weeks without having some sort of story come to light about he's testing this missile, or he's threatening to bomb this, or this fell into the middle of the Pacific, but it might have been aimed at Hawaii. Yeah. Like, it's all. It's everything. I feel like every threat, and in 2017, it's a big statement to make that our biggest threat is this tiny country run by a dum-dum. Like, there are so many other threats that we should be focusing on yet. And again, as Derek referred to earlier, the news is not even close to as reliable as we used to view it to be. But nonetheless, you look through every news source, it's North Korea being like, yeah, you don't like us, USA? Well, this is what we're going to do now.
I think there's a lot of empty threats there, but I also think there's bigger things to worry about right now
than little Kim with his toys. They're empty until they're not.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yes.
And
yes.
Ultimately, because that was my number two. Like, Rocket Man was definitely my number two. But the fact that no one has actually died as a result of his screwing around put Myanmar ahead of that for me, where people have actually died.
Oh, I'm sure people have died there.
Understandably so. Yeah.
Well, people have died there, but it's people that he's chosen to kill.
But we also haven't heard about it because the media doesn't report any of that stuff here.
Gets out of it. Yep. He just killed a bunch. He killed somebody recently.
Mm-hmm. He's probably killing somebody right now.
North Korea probably is.
That's such Little a Kim. Weird thing, too.
North Korea. Is
with Dennis Rodman watching.
My head is in my hands right now.
Sort of an ongoing nightmare, because nobody really takes any of this that seriously until the moment when oh my God, we should have taken this seriously.
Yeah, like we totally should have.
Because
and that's always
a quarter
blurry.
Of a million people are dead because a nuke went off.
Well,
somewhere.
The media is certainly taking it seriously because they're throwing these trash stories at us all the time about what's happening in North Korea.
And because it's a dope story. Yeah. I mean, it's, oh my God, I have to come up with a story. That's the problem with the media is
what's little Kim doing
it's
today?
It's a 24-hour news cycle. So if you work in such a position where you have to have a new story every day, it's very much, okay, what can I do to get people's attention? Oh, everyone's scared of North Korea. I'll just say something about North Korea.
Well, the fact that the guy's shooting missiles.
Even if it's completely unfounded.
The fact that the guy's shooting missiles over Japan is a big problem.
I was going to say, no, it's absolutely a problem. And it's like it's not a big deal until it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's all too reminiscent of World War II when we were... We were just like, yeah, we're like helping England out with some supplies and stuff, but we just read the papers about what's happening over there. And
I think the worst thing that happens with North Korea is complacency, and that's sort of paralyzed a lot of us, which is like, nobody's actually going to do this. Nobody's actually going to like launch a nuclear weapon.
And then until somebody does. Which, to be fair, we did it.
We got Rocket Man and our orange president. On either side of this conflict here.
I don't think anything's going to be launched either way. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
A game of fear.
But if you wanted to talk about the two most reckless and irrational people on the planet who could be playing with nuclear bombs.
That are leaders.
It's Rocket Man and the Orange President.
Who are
number one and number two.
Of two of the most powerful countries on the planet. Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just get together and hug it out?
Well, what all of this always makes me think of is, I actually have no idea what Steven Seagal movie it is from, but there is a
quote.
On
the Siege.
You know what I'm about to say.
I think so. Go ahead.
The fear of death is worse than death itself. And that, I think, is the culmination of both sides, which is it's so much more intriguing and exciting, and we have to pay attention to it to be like, oh my God, he has nuclear weapons. He might do something with them. Than to actually... the actual reality of something happening with them. Even if it's not nuclear, even if it's just him... I hate that we live in a society where I can say regular old bombing us, like
the old days.
It's like just the usual explosive detonation,
taking off some arms and legs.
The one thing I can say about the Orange President is that at least he has a bunch of people around him who will slap his hand away from the button starts reaching for
it. Can't wait.
God
to see
willing,
it.
And the Cree toner eyes.
I want
to see
him get slapped right in the face. Just somebody slapping him and saying stop.
Sports.
Maybe that's how his face got so red.
Yeah,
this is her favorite category, by the way, sports.
Oh yeah, I love sports so much.
Me too. Bowling. You have anything on bowling?
No, there's no bad bowling.
Come on.
I only care
horseshoes.
I only care about baseball, and that's only ever scandalous when it comes to alcoholism. So I have two. My first being Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, which we
touched upon.
Jerk.
Commits suicide and goes to his grave a not guilty man.
Well, in
not innocent,
honestly,
mind you.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Not guilty.
A ridiculous law.
Not guilty.
Ridiculous law.
Which is, I think, kind of tied in with our dear friend OJ. That's what I always think about.
Oh, good old OJ.
As he was like,
the juice.
I was found not guilty, and Robert Kardashian's like, actually, you were acquitted. That doesn't mean you're not guilty. That means there wasn't enough evidence to find you guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel about Aaron Hernandez. He actually would frequent the nightclub where all of this took place, before all of it took place, which is, for those of you who don't know, also where Next Comedy Stop takes place. So yep. I was there. Mm-hmm. I would see him go in as I was leaving.
Don't spill drinks on that man.
Apparently
you can now.
Not. Well, the next day after it happened, we still had the show because, you know, money.
Mm-hmm.
But a Boston Globe reporter came up to me, and this was, when did that happen? Like 2, 3, 4 years ago?
4 years ago, I think, yeah.
And was like, were you here that night? And I was like, what? What you mean? You mean like when Gary Gulman stopped by? No, the night of the shooting. And I was like, oh, nope. I leave before all the trashy people show up. Mm-hmm. I just see them
when the guns
in.
Come out. I
yeah,
leave.
I see them. I see them showing up, and the bouncers are like, "Why don't you stay? You know, we let you in for free." I'm like, "Have you seen these people?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's the ultimate. I can't over the course of like, and as Derek said, I'm not super interested in sports. I am, however, interested in crime, And I've read story after story after story after story after story about particularly football players, lots of professional athletes, but football players in particular, committing acts like this and somehow getting away with them, or at least getting reduced sentences, getting their right. family to be able to get the money that they were supposed to get cut off of because their contract was breached. All of these things. And Aaron Hernandez is the fantastically classic example of this.
Yep, and untouchable.
He, almost. The sheer fact, it's, I can't say the word that I want to describe him as on the radio, but it's another word for cat, which I think is the way that he took out.
Yeah.
Which was, it's like, you know what, man? You were totally, even if you didn't put your finger on the trigger, you were responsible for all of this. And you just wanted to be your terrible self and get all you could despite, it just, I've never mourned the suicide of someone less than Aaron Hernandez.
Well, he ends up as a winner, right?
Yeah.
He won.
That's the thing. He won. And it's the same as, I mean, it's the same way that I felt when Charlie Manson died this year, which was...
Jerk.
You never had to admit that it was your fault.
Yep.
I have another, but you go.
What was your other one, quickly?
Larry Nassar.
We're going to get to that anyway.
Yeah.
For me... The most annoying, not the worst, but the most annoying story of the year was Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm. Because oh, yeah, that's true.
After listening to month after month after month of why isn't Colin Kaepernick on the field? Why isn't Colin Kaepernick on the field? Somebody should hire Colin Kaepernick. Well, the funny thing is all of these pundits who came out saying, well, he's better than all these quarterbacks that are playing right now, aren't saying anything now that the Jacksonville Jaguars and Blake Bortles won their division, or that Minnesota made won its division with a backup quarterback, or that Case Keenum won with the Los Angeles Rams. It turns out, shockingly, in football, all that time that you spend in the film room, all that chemistry that you build with your other players, all that time that you spend working with the coaches and running routes and practicing, all of that actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
All of that actually helps a team win a game. You can't just pull a guy in off the street and say, oh, he's statistically better, and go win football games.
Right.
Go ask the New York Giants how Eli Manning turned out this year. He won two Super Bowls and two games this season. So I'm sick of hearing about Kaepernick. I know it's a favorite cause of the left, but everybody who's saying, why isn't he on a football field, doesn't understand football. You don't understand how the game is played. You don't understand how it's coached. The worst story, though, hands down, has to be Larry Nassar, who was the former team doctor for USA Gymnastics. He has been accused by more than 140 women of sexual assault. Basically, every young girl who took part in the USA Gymnastics training program or wound up on a USA Gymnastics national team was sexually assaulted by this pig.
Yes, I would say over 100. And it was, the worst part is that it was under the guise of medical treatment.
This went on for more than a decade.
Yeah.
And people knew.
Yeah, they explained, like, as long ago as 15 years ago, the abuse was reported. And for the most part, what the Olympic National Committee would do is have them sign non-disclosure agreements.
Mm.
And actually, there is...
Michaela Maroney came out.
I was saying, Michaela Maroney is actually filing a lawsuit calling for the invalidity of that non-disclosure agreement, saying you're covering up a pedophile.
Well,
it's crazy.
How dare
it's like the cardinal law of gymnastics.
In her case, she needed psychological counseling, and she had left gymnastics, so she needed money. And they said, if you want money, we'll give you $100,000, but you're going to sign this agreement that says nothing.
Yeah, that says you can't tell on him.
Mm.
And
it's a bad look.
And that's especially for someone who already has sacrificed so much of their childhood and adolescence towards this one craft, to have it be so abused, be taken such advantage of that you have to leave it in order to get psychological help.
Yeah.
It's terrible, especially I've known people who have been in a sport or been in a dance field or been in a gymnastics, whichever craft you want to call it, it's their favorite thing to do and has never been ruined by somebody touching them inappropriately.
Right.
I've watched the gymnastics competition at the Olympics for years, and the U.S. team, I always look at them and I'm like, why do they all look sad? Why do they all look upset about something? And now we know. Because you see very little genuine joy on the faces of those gymnasts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, even
which is something they're fantastic at, something they clearly enjoy doing, or they wouldn't devote 100 hours a week to it.
Right. But getting sexually assaulted on a weekly basis should not be part of your training program or the price that you pay to represent your country. I firmly believe that Bella and Marta Caroli need to retire or be shown the door, because a lot of what Nasser did happened under their watch at their training facility, which is the unofficial USA gymnastics training facility. It's time for a major shakeup in that organization.
It was cardinal law all over again.
Yeah. But it was pretty much this one guy, although there are other guys at other levels of gymnastics, but this one guy being in that position for as many years as he was, getting away with this for as many years as he did, he was aided and abetted by other people.
Oh, yeah.
The NDAs were part of that. And the full extent of that needs to be brought to light, and everybody who enabled this guy needs to be shown the door.
Well, and especially as a, and I'll end on this, but as a girl, you go through those classes when you're in elementary school about, like, this is inappropriate behavior and this is appropriate behavior, but they say unless it's your mom or dad bathing you or a doctor, people shouldn't touch you this way. And that's why it's so horrific to have it be a doctor who is touching you inappropriately, because it takes you a little while to realize this is, you know, maybe this is just that thing that we're talking about, how a doctor will touch me in that place and it's okay and normal. You know, it's just horrifying that someone would take advantage of their position.
As long as you're in the doctor's office and not on the gymnast mat, you know, and then that's the big difference there.
Fair.
Well, that's the thing about this is, you know, the way that this happened, these girls had no idea. You know, like, he maintained what he was doing was a chiropractic treatment. Most chiropractors aren't putting their hands inside of you.
Yeah.
And that's how he got away with this for as long as he did. And the medical setting is wherever you happen to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in your room, it's in a tent, it's in back of the training facility, it's wherever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the other side of the walls where you're about to perform. Like,
yeah, but if USA Gymnastics thinks they're going to sink this guy and the story's going to go away, they have to understand they're wrong about that. And I applaud Michaela Maroney for filing her lawsuit, because that is a major step toward exposing everything that's going on here. Worst entertainment story. Harvey Weinstein is an obvious choice for a lot of reasons. But as bad as that is, I got to go with Kevin Spacey.
Well, actually, what I have written for worst entertainment story is Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., Matt Lauer, Bill O'Reilly, Kevin Spacey, .. I think Kevin Spacey's
pretty shameful.
I'm going to single him out.
He is only because you guys can't see the air quotes I'm making, but all of the quote-unquote apologies made by these abusive fools, his was the most despicable.
I'm gay. That was his apology. I'm gay.
He thought that was an out.
Look over here. I'm gay.
He thought that was an out, and thank God that everybody said that's not an out.
For those of you who haven't heard it verbatim, I have a lot of respect and admiration for Anthony Rapp as an actor. I'm beyond horrified to hear his story. I honestly do not remember the encounter. It would have been over 30 years ago. But if I did behave then as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been a deeply inappropriate drunken behavior.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. This story has encouraged me to address other things in my life.
Yeah.
I know that there are stories out there about me, and that some have been fueled by the fact that I've been so protective of my privacy. As those closest to me know, in my life, I've had relationships with both men and women. I have loved and have romantic encounters with men throughout my life, and I choose now to live as a gay man.
Yay, so
brave. I want
to
deal with this honestly and openly, and that starts with examining my own behavior. Kevin Spacey.
So brave. So brave.
You still sexually assaulted someone,
right.
Dumb.
Yeah.
They thought that they're going to read the second part of the apology and forget the first part.
And by the way,
but it's not even an apology.
Right, it's not
the media
apology,
initially
right.
did that. There were media outlets that ran with the story. Kevin Spacey is gay, and then the fact that he assaulted Anthony Rapp, who, full disclosure, I worked with many years ago.
And Anthony Rapp's a super nice guy.
Was like the sixth paragraph.
So this guy was like a teenager, right? And Kevin Spacey was in his 20s.
Anthony Rapp was 14. And Kevin Spacey was like
28 or 30.
He was like, 28, I think.
Yeah.
Or late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's the ultimate, the fact that he even worded it in such a way that was, I honestly do not remember the encounter. If I did behave then, as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior.
So he didn't remember, but he did.
So it's like, it's kind of cloudy, but if I did do it. I don't actually think I did that, but more importantly, I'm gay.
By the way.
Like, I'm so sorry that he's been haunted
drunk,
by this for 25 years.
It may have been 30 years, 2 weeks, and a day, but I don't know.
By the way, I'm gay. Here's a piece of language I want everybody to pick up on.
Oh, I hope it's good.
When you read one of these apologies, if somebody says, I don't remember that specific incident.
They do.
They do.
No. They may not. They may or they may not. But if they're saying that, it means that they do this sort of thing so
often. They're well
coached.
Yeah, I see
where
you're
going. Specifics just sort of fade away. Yes. It's sort of like
oh, was that him?
That's not a sentence that people that are not coached use.
If you, Chris Earle, or I, Derek Gary, mm-hmm. made an inappropriate advance to a woman and got kneed in the nuts.
Right. I'd be like, I don't know.
We'd remember that.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
You guys
remember
every time I've kneed you in the
nuts.
Yes,
we'd be like, oh, my God. Remember that
once
time?
Once right before the show.
17, you.
Still hurting.
27, you.
Yeah. Remember that time that girl kneed me in the nuts? I totally deserved that.
I didn't deserve it, but
now,
it's okay.
Do you remember the last thing you got at Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes.
No. Well.
I did. I got a large coffee.
Okay. Do you get a large coffee every day?
Milk and sugar. Yes, but I don't get kneed in the nuts every day.
Yeah, but this is the thing.
Not yet.
If somebody asked you, what did you get at Dunkin' Donuts like 3 years and 2 months ago?
Large regular.
On Tuesday.
Right. No.
Did you go on Tuesday? You don't remember
because
it happens all the time.
Like
when you were the 14-year-old kid.
I know what you mean, which is like, which time that I went to Dunkin' Donuts was that?
Right. If you don't remember it, it's because it's part of your regular experience. This is what you do.
Right, right.
This is who you are.
You're like, oh, was that the redheaded one or the kind of redheaded one?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, like that's, I mean.
Because there's a difference between saying, I don't remember that, and saying, I would never do that.
And, right. Exactly. And it is, that's very spot on, excellent point.
He wasn't coached enough to do that.
Well, my favorite thing about this is that with all, as I said, I picked my top five favorites of the maybe 30 stories about this that have broken this year.
Yeah.
And the sheer fact that of all the quote unquote apologies that have taken place, that we're singling out Kevin Spacey says something.
Yeah.
Because
ridiculous.
At least most of the, not all, because Harvey Weinstein, I hope you die in your sleep tonight.
He will.
But at least most of them took at least some tiny semblance of responsibility.
Weinstein's
or remorse.
Yeah, Weinstein's
his
a pig.
Weinstein's a total pig, and the only small amount that I don't blame him for that is that Hollywood breeds terrible people.
Weinstein,
and he is a perfect example of that.
He's a semi-enabled pig too. But Kevin Spacey is making advances on a 14-year-old, and by the way, what we heard from the old Vic is that he was doing the same sort of thing over there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. And before Sir Ian McKellen gets any further up on his high horse, apparently he may want to check his own behavior based on some of what I've been hearing.
Oh, shit.
Sure.
Well, at least he was honest about being gay like way long ago.
Yeah.
But the sheer fact that we are able to single this out as being the worst response to allegations. Come on, Kevin. I mean, dude, you can at least say, you know what, I was coming, like, you could have worded this so many different ways that would have been like, I was grappling with my own sexuality, it's not an excuse, I'm sorry. Like, he never even He never is. I owe him the sincerest apology. That is, I would. I'm sorry for the feelings he describes he having carried with him. All of it is dancing around. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve is when people dance around an apology.
The good news is...
Like, when say, like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yes.
I apologize for the way things transpired.
Ugh.
Just say, I'm sorry, I'm a total...
Yeah.
Jerk face. That's not what I want to say, but we're on the radio.
The good news
is you're not going to have to hear anything more from Kevin Spacey unless you're looking to buy a used car in Boise.
Good for him. One of the best things that I got from Bob Gottschall.
True story.
Be careful of the people you meet on the way up and treat them right because you're going to meet them on the way back down.
Yeah.
That's right.
Worst tech story for me, slam dunk, Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin is a good one.
And here's the thing. As long as Bitcoin is a bunch of bored billionaires throwing money at something because they have nothing better to do with their billions of dollars, I am fine with that. The problem is you've got everyday people now sinking their life savings into this fraudulent Ponzi scheme-esque.
Non-existent form of currency.
What is old is new again.
Yeah. I just want to point out for the record that Bitcoin fell by 50% last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And has been...
You poor rich dummies.
And has been rallying. But the thing is, I don't care if the rich people lose all their money. It's the small people who are like, I got $20,000. I'm buying Bitcoin.
That's right. Yep.
And I'm going to be rich, who are now going to have nothing because when this thing crashes, it's going down hard.
Yep.
For me, it's like 9 stories about Uber.
Yeah. Not a good year for the Uber.
Not a good year for the Uber. They have multiple sexual harassment scandals. Some that have moved on to actually being prosecuted for them not properly doing proper background checks on their drivers.
Yeah.
They have the EU having established that it is illegal for them to run as a tech company and now need to officially establish as a transportation company, which is essentially going to make, I'd say, 99.9% of their drivers illegally driving until they get...
Yeah, turns out their background checks are bogus.
Yep.
Who knew?
You need a pulse. That's it.
Whoever suggested that on the radio?
A pulse and a couple of wheels. That's it.
And they developed a software to try to identify and circumvent officials investigating the company.
Grayball.
Yeah. And it was in place in Paris, Berlin, Portland, and a few other cities in various countries. And that would have been adorable if it wasn't so easy to find out they did.
Yeah. I still haven't taken an Uber. I've taken one with my friend, but actually last week was the first one I took. I was in LA, and curiously, Kevin Spacey was the driver.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He asked me how old I was and if I was an actor.
Oh, how the mighty have deservedly fallen.
That have, yes.
You're too old. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. It is our annual salute to the worst of the year that's been. On the Tell Mikey D, will be coming your way at 9 o'clock. When we come back, more of the worst of 2017.
Yes.
I'm playing an old song.
My time machine works.
1999.
When we come back, more of the worst of 2017 here on WMFO Medford.
Hello,
hello,
Mr. New Year, hello. Oh yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears of yesterday, for New Year has come our way. It's true, Mr. New Year, it's true. The love we see through you will fill our imagination and give us inspiration. This is the reason why we make resolutions, and this is the season to give more contributions. Hello, Mr. New Year, hello. Oh yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears off yesterday, for a new year has come our way. This is the reason. make resolutions. And this is the season to give more contributions. Hello, Mr. New Year, hello. Oh, yes, we welcome you here. We'll wipe our tears on yesterday, for a new year has come our way.
Of the U.S. Air Force would like to wish America a very happy new year. We're working to help make 1984 a time of peace and happiness for everyone around the world. It's rewarding work, and you can help. Ask your recruiter how. From all of us, here's hoping the new year will be your happiest year of all.
The U.S. Air Force.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
MFO Medford, you are listening to The Big Picture on 91.5 FM. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, Derek Gary. And hanging out with us this evening is Chris Earle. Thanks for hanging, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
And we're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. And tonight we're doing a very special edition of The Big Picture, where we are recapping the absolute worst things of 2017. And my, what a list there is. What are we at now? Let's see. The worst person in any walk of life.
Yes.
For you, I have Richard Spencer.
Pretty good. White supremacist got punched on Inauguration Day.
Yes, that was not even just on Inauguration Day. He got punched, I do believe, before and after Inauguration Day as well. He is perhaps, well, I think that he, the reason I chose him as the worst person of 2017 is that he fully encapsulates what is wrong with the extreme right, and that he thinks he's extremely right when he is extremely wrong.
He also led the Ku Klux Chad rally down in Charlottesville.
Oh, yes. And we all know how well that went. And he attempted to facilitate the rally here in Boston, which I'm going to get into later as my favorite moment of 2017. But I do think in terms of when I look back at 2017 and think about that which keeps me up at night aside from personal issues, he is the face that appears in my brain other than, you know, our beloved orange leader.
As loathsome as Spencer is, and he is pretty loathsome.
Yes.
I can understand, well, I can't understand why he thinks the way he does, but I can understand where he comes from, and it's very easy to marginalize him. If people are awake and people are paying attention to what's going on, what he's selling immediately becomes unattractive. So in my eyes, that makes him less dangerous than some other people in this country, because at least he's advertising what he is. My choice for the worst person of the year is Stephen Paddock, because...
Oh, that's pretty solid, too.
We don't understand why he did what he did. And the FBI has said it will probably be next October before they have any information on his motive. He, of course, is the man who opened fire on the Route 91 Harvest Festival.
Yes.
The thing that makes Paddock, and this is, in my eyes, the most diabolical crime committed in U.S. history,
mm-hmm.
is worse than 9/11.
Not even just yours. I mean, this is one man.
Everything that he did up to the moment where he opened fire on that crowd, obtaining the guns, obtaining the bump stocks and the high capacity magazines, bringing all the guns into the hotel, everything that he did was legal. And everything that he did was calculated. And everything that he did was premeditated over an extended period of time.
Right.
And done in such a way that nobody would ever have the slightest inkling that this guy would commit this kind of crime. And it allowed him to murder more people in a shooting incident than anyone in U.S. history.
And on top of that, I agree. That's why I can't even believe that I even tried to have it be Richard Spencer. When
no,
obviously
because I agree with Richard Spencer.
There.
I agree because in terms of negative newsmakers, he's right up there.
Yeah.
Paddock is sort of like a unique type of virus.
Isolated, yeah. But such, I agree. He's such a symbol for the, I mean, I hate that the minute you said Stephen Paddock, I was like, oh yes, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah.
I hate that I know exactly who that is. And especially, I think that part of what makes him so frustrating is, especially in terms of an American 2017, usually we have a reason. Usually, even if the person kills himself, which, by the way, you're going to kill a bunch of people, at least face justice. At least give us the satisfaction of knowing why you didn't.
Well, you
don't
know,
be a total coward and shoot yourself when they're ambushing you.
You know my approach to this, which is if you're planning a mass shooting, test the guns on
yourself first.
You don't want that embarrassing moment where you show up and pull the trigger and nothing happens.
But then you can't make the news.
Stop.
You shoot yourself first.
Stop being logical.
All right, all right.
Hey.
Yep.
You're a guest on the show.
Yeah. Right, right. Stop.
but
let me know if anybody wants a hug.
But he, you know, everyone's tried to theorize. Oh, it was financially motivated. He was rich. He was a really successful gambler, which is apparently a thing. He was doing it for ISIS or something. Nope. He was a card-carrying American with absolutely no ISIS affiliations. He had no, there's nothing in his history that we can point to other than him just being a weird dude.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can point to and be like, this is the reason. And we'll never know because the coward killed himself as he was being ambushed by police,
mm-hmm.
which police protocol, they don't kill them unless their lives are being threatened. If he had dropped his weapon, put his hands in the air, he'd be seeing his day in court. And that does make, it makes it so frustrating, especially given that this is, he attacked 22,000 people at once. At once. One man.
Yeah.
That's, picture how many people 22,000 people is. Like, I performed for a 1,200-seat theater, and that was the most people I've ever seen contained in one place in front of me ever.
Yeah.
And this is, you
like
know, more
times,
than 10, more
20
than
times.
20 times,
what's
almost
it like,
20
half a
times
Gillette,
that.
What does Gillette hold, like 40, 50,000?
Gillette holds about 60.
Almost yeah. 20 okay. times yeah. that, and he is perched above all of them,
yeah.
as one would be on a stage. Perched above all of them. I mean, it.
So you also have 22,000 people with PTSD living with that for the
right.
rest of
exactly.
their life.
Exactly. Like, yeah. it doesn't even matter if they get yep. hit by a gun. Some yep. of the... some of the pictures, you look at the pictures of the aftermath, it doesn't even matter if they got hit.
Right.
They were, to be there, to have been there. I mean, I was in the midst of a fatal car accident mm-hmm. 6 years ago, and it happened in front of me, and I happened to stop just in time. I was the only car that wasn't involved in this four-car accident that flipped two people into the ravine in the middle of the highway.
Yeah, jeez.
I'm still touched by that,
yeah.
and that was an accident. This was one man purposely slaughtering people.
And that's the worst yeah. thing about this.
At a
because
concert.
9/11, we know why they did that.
Yes.
Pulse nightclub.
Theoretically.
Pulse nightclub, we know why that guy did that. And it's one thing when you got the motive and you got some lunatic out there.
There's something you can put, as much as it still is terrible, you can put it to bed.
This guy, it seems that part of the point of this whole thing is you're never going to know why I did this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be your worst boogeyman ever.
But you also have so many people affected by this. And if you Googled it and you tried to get some news on it now, there's probably next to nothing. It's gone from page one to page 14.
Because there's no answers.
Right.
That's the whole thing. Because there's no answers, there's nothing to write about. And it's, it's not that anyone's forgotten.
22,000 people, though, that would argue differently. I'm sure they would like to learn a little bit more about it because they're basically affected for life.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be
they were hit or not.
The thing they fall asleep at night to.
Yep.
Now, for the rest of their lives.
I'm going to jump ahead because I know Chris Earle has other commitments tonight.
I do.
I want him here for this category.
Okay.
And Shay, you'll go first on this one. Worst picture.
I was confused. Do you mean picture, like, movie?
Yes.
Okay, thank God, because that's what I thought you meant. The Emoji Movie.
Oh.
Do I need an explanation?
Just the title.
Do I need an explanation?
Yeah.
The Emoji Movie.
I like this pick.
Enough said.
Yeah.
Do we really?
Sad face?
And I will say, yes, sad face for the Emoji Movie.
Patrick Stewart was the voice of Pooh.
Oh.
That brings it a click above negative 30,000 on my list. Well, and I will say, like, I've watched, I was hanging out with my nieces over Christmas, and I watched a movie that takes place inside of video games, something Ralph, Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph, it's Pixar.
And then I watched the Amy Poehler movie where they're inside the girl's brain.
Inside Out.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
I thought it was cute. Anyways, neither here nor there. Like, it's like, okay, it's kind of cheesy, but whatever.
It's no cute. The Emoji Movie.
Do we need... I already hate the fact that people are expressing their emotions through what used to be a stupid pin people wore on their backpacks in the 70s. But to make it into an entire movie? No, I haven't seen it. Do you know why I haven't seen it? Because it's the Emoji Movie. Mm-hmm. Like, why? I can't even... brain and heart are exploding at the same time, even saying that out loud.
One of the plot points of this movie.
There are plot points to the Emoji Movie?
Did
you see it? You saw it too?
In the ultimate act of product placement. One of the plot points of this movie
is throw up.
They have to get to Dropbox.
Dropbox?
Yeah. You know, what? Dropbox, that thing where you store everything.
Yeah.
There are diversions. There's a diversion where they go and they play games.
So there's a giant ad for Dropbox throughout the whole movie.
There are ads for all kinds of things stuck in this movie.
Wow.
It's hot.
How did you guys even see this?
I have no interest
in seeing it.
I don't quit the show. I quit, like, being alive in 2017.
It's
awful.
Somebody just shoot me back to 1963. I think I do really well there.
I have to throw a quick promo in because this is amazing. Black Mirror. You guys have got to see Black Mirror. It's amazing. Netflix, and it's basically
it's terrifying. I was going to say, it's terrifying in the best and worst way.
It's set in the future between, like, now and, like, a few years in the future.
Oh, no, my cousin turned me onto it.
Yeah, great show.
Oh, my God, that show. That's one of those shows that you watch it. Watch it early in the afternoon because you're going to need to watch, like, a Disney movie to recover from it after each episode because it will mess with your brain.
So good.
My pick for worst movie... Mm-hmm. And I always go, there are movies that are just bad. There were bad ideas that shouldn't have been made in the first place. And I put the Emoji Movie in that category. It is, objectively, the worst movie of the year. Without question. Shouldn't even exist. But for my worst movie pick, I usually go for something that aspires to be something that just goes completely off the rails. And without question, it is, and Chris Earle is going to hate me for this, it is The Last Jedi.
Oh.
It is the worst movie of the year.
This is where I get quiet while Derek and Chris argue.
Well, you know what? I saw it with Derek on premiere night,
right.
and we talked about it a little bit afterwards, and we were excited about it a little bit, and we hated a lot of stuff. And
we've
I saw it the second time and liked it more the second time. Go ahead.
Where do I begin with what's wrong with this movie?
Laura Dern.
No. Let's start with the fact that this movie is the O.J. Simpson L.A. freeway chase in space.
Exactly, yes.
That is the central action point of the movie. It's the O.J. chase in space.
It's not epic.
No.
In any way.
No.
Yeah.
And it could have been solved so easily by just
having a
ship show up in front of the ship that they're chasing.
Yes.
Or having the rebels get to Brentwood and then the police take them out of the ship or whatever.
Yep.
As long as he gets to see his mama and have a glass of orange juice.
Yeah. I think Al Cowlings is driving. No, it's Laura Dern is driving that ship.
Yes, she was the Cato Kalin of the movie.
Laura Dern is in a completely different movie from everybody else.
Yeah, she was in The Hunger Games.
With her
crazy purple hair. She was right out of The Hunger Games.
I don't know what movie she's in. The final scene with her and Carrie Fisher is one of the most atrocious moments in any Star Wars movie.
Hand-holding.
Which makes me super sad that was the last. Again, I haven't seen this movie, nor will I, because, oh my God, you guys are nerds.
No, it brought joy to us.
But it does.
As kids.
make me sad that that is like the ultimate, like the, and when I say ultimate, I mean the final Carrie Fisher recorded moment in the movie.
Yeah.
We spend,
there'll be a video of her getting high.
We spend a half hour on a casino planet straight out of the Phantom Menace. That would have been a great episode of Star Wars Rebels, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But exists primarily to tell us that the 1% are bad and animal cruelty is wrong.
Right.
And does nothing else.
Exactly. That scene didn't need to exist.
With terrible CGI in a movie that's already 2.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you don't need any training to use the Force anymore.
No.
Rey just knows how to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
You've got all of these unresolved characters all over the place.
Well, she's not a Jedi. That's how they explained it.
Yeah, but she can do stuff with the Force that Luke couldn't do until the third movie.
Yeah.
You know.
You're not supposed to be able to, with my limited knowledge of this boo hockey that you guys are into, you're not supposed to be able to do stuff with the Force unless you're a Jedi.
You're not supposed to be able to do
you
stuff with
be
the Force
sensitive.
Unless you're trained.
And, exactly.
And that's, and this happened in the first movie, too.
Exactly.
Where she does the whole thing with telling the Stormtrooper... James Bond, Daniel Craig, to release her from her restraints. She shouldn't have known how to do that.
No, she shouldn't have.
So, yes, she is the ultimate Mary Sue and doesn't need anyone to tell her what to do because she already knows everything. But to me, the most unforgivable thing in the movie, and without going into spoilers, because I don't...
Most people have seen it by now, and I'm going to say it.
Yeah, but a lot of people haven't.
Joel
hasn't. A lot of people haven't. The most unforgivable thing in the movie for me is what they do to Luke. And there is a character, there is a moment for Luke Skywalker that both of these films hang on this moment. The whole reason they're going to find Luke, the whole reason he is on the island, comes from a character moment that is so completely out of left field.
Yeah.
That completely does not fit with the character of Luke Skywalker that George Lucas established over three movies.
Right.
That you sit there and you look at it and you're like, how did this happen?
But this is how, and I'm going to give you my theory, is George Lucas had some control over it, and now we have Disney, who's basically grabbing people and producing more Star Wars movies, and Rian Johnson, who is a TV guy primarily.
Yeah.
So it's no different than an episode of The Sopranos where you see the guys from Rhode Island and you have one of the best shows ever, and then all of a sudden they never go back to the guys from Rhode Island. They just throw it out the window because you know why? That director didn't want to do anything that was done before with what somebody else established, like J.J. Abrams in the first movie. He basically threw away a lot of stuff that J.J. Abrams threw out there.
And in terms of putting some new stuff on screen and giving us some unexpected things in Star Wars, it succeeds. If you're going to see the movie for space battles and laser sword fights.
Porgs.
And robots and porgs, go. Those things are all good.
Yeah.
The problem is the story is atrocious.
Yeah.
The acting is atrocious.
Leia's horrible.
So... we're here for this. Well, I haven't even gotten into Mary Poppins' Leia.
Yeah.
If you're going to see Star Wars and you're a longtime fan, you're going because of the emotional arc of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And this movie just rips that up and then takes a crap on it.
Look up the big Leia Bowski too, Derek. The big Leia Bowski.
It actually makes you feel bad for going in with those expectations.
Dude, we were both like kind of like, yeah, I liked it, but I'm kind of hurt right now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a little damaged.
Yeah.
And you know what? It does reflect a lot about 2017. I was just looking forward to that so much, and then it was disappointing. But seeing it the second time, I did like it more the second time, and you liked it less.
And Shay's just over here like...
She's ready. She's ready for the next Star Trek
By
movie.
The way, here's an early prediction for 2018. The Han Solo movie is in big, big, big trouble.
Sure.
You know why?
Title's horrible.
No, you know why?
Why?
And this is right in our faces, and it took someone else pointing this out to make me realize it. There was no trailer for the Han Solo movie before The Last Jedi.
Yes. Yes.
This
there
is
you go.
Disney. This is Synergy Central.
Right, which is 6 months away.
They got the Avengers trailer in there.
Yep.
You're going to tell me that they have so much confidence in the Han Solo movie that they don't feel the need to put the trailer in front of The Last Jedi?
No.
Uh-uh. This is going the other way.
Yep.
Han Solo is going to be a turd. The Last Jedi is a turd. Star Wars is in big trouble.
You get to see Ron Howard's brother, though, in the Solo movie.
Very quickly, worst public comment. Shea Spillane.
What a crowd. What a turnout. Which was Donald Trump to the victims and survivors of Hurricane Harvey in Texas.
Was that before he started hucking the paper towels, the rolls of paper towels?
Yep.
Mine is also from our orange president. You had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists. The press has treated them absolutely unfairly. You also had some very fine people on both sides.
That was number two for me.
You also had some very fine people on both sides. Yes. Donald Trump speaking up for those very fine white supremacists down there in Charlottesville.
What a country.
855-915-9636 is a telephone number. On the Town with Mikey D is minutes away with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. But before that, we got a couple more of the worst of 2017 to get through, which we will continue right after this here on WMFO Medford.
He thinks he'll be okay. I'm Neil Sedaka, here to wish you a most happy new year.
Hi, this is Sam Cooke with three words for you. Happy New Year.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, my fantastic co-host, Derek Carey. We're going to be here with you for a few more moments as we wrap up our end-of-the-year worst of. Filling you in on all our, I guess, recapping on all of the worst things that have happened in 2017.
And since we find ourselves pressed for time, as we always do when we do these shows, I'm going to make an executive decision, and you're going to send me your worst song, and we'll play it next week as part of the show.
And, that sounds like a good deal.
And I'll play mine, and we'll have the In Memoriam segment next week, which I didn't have time to finish
this
week.
Look out, Taylor Swift. I'm coming for you.
is that the one with Ed Sheeran?
Don't get me started. Yeah. That's for next week.
Is it the one with Ed Sheeran?
It's the one where...
And Future?
Bathtub, diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah, that is that one, right?
I don't even know. Yeah, I try not to collect too many thoughts about her.
There's a lot of stuff on that album is bad, is what I'm saying.
So what are we going to wrap up on, Monday?
So we've got... What do we got left? We've done all
we have
of those.
What's not our least favorite.
Our least favorite thing of 2017.
And best thing that happened in 2017. Well, given that we're pressed for time, I figured that I would wrap up my what's not with bullet points, which is shootings, hurricanes, bombings, wildfires, threats of bombings, more reality shows coming out, and January 20th, 2017.
You, kind of a theme with the January 20th thing with you.
It's been a theme for the entire year, unfortunately.
I get it. This guy's a problem in a lot of ways.
It's like when somebody lights a fuse that takes like a really long time to reach the bomb, and you're like, yeah, you keep talking about that fuse, and you're like, no, but it keeps getting closer to the bomb.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about January 20th, 2017.
This is one that I didn't get a chance to talk about this year, and that is loot boxes. Loot boxes is a thing that's happening in gaming. And they've been a feature in mobile games for a long time, and that's fine in mobile games because you don't pay anything for those. You know, if you've got a free-to-download game and somebody's asking you to spend a couple of bucks to randomly win something in the game, they got to pay for the game somehow. That's fine. When we talk about console games like Star Wars Battlefront 2, where I've already shelled out $70 to buy the game, and now instead of being able to unlock content by playing the game, I have to gamble with these random loot boxes and potentially spend money to get things that I want to play in the game, it's out of control.
It's like Bitcoins for video games.
If you can't make a game and sell it to me for $70 and make a profit, then you are running your business incorrectly.
Yeah, then it's not a good enough game.
I
don't even play video games. This is from a completely objective point of view, but I had no idea what those were until you just spoke about them. But yeah, that sounds like blue hockey, for lack of a...
It's the people who develop
FCC
these games...
FCC-approved words to describe that.
The people who develop these games freely admit that they use gambling psychology to get people to buy these things. All right? These are games that are marketed to children, folks, and I fully support all the state attorneys generals who are coming out and saying, we want to make these games 21 plus. That's what should happen.
I miss the days when they wanted to make them 21 plus, surely based on the fact that they were too violent.
Other than the violence we don't care about, but kids gambling, we can't have that. But the reality is we can't have kids gambling and we can't have kids getting excited about gambling. It's wrong. It's greedy, it's unnecessary, and it needs to be stopped. So Here's to hoping in 2018, this practice goes away for good.
Hear, hear. Well, and now we just have our favorite thing. This is a, are we going to wrap up on a happy super
The note? Best thing that happened in 2017. We're going to leave with some hope for the coming year.
In my humble opinion, it was actually